Wick tonight. All right, we're going to pick up on, where are we at? Luke 10, 1 through 18. Here we go. It goes, then the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them out ahead in pairs to all towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions. Then he gives them instructions. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor travel bags, nor extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. All right. Then we jump down to verse 16. Then he said to the disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we used your name. Verse 18. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I've given you authority over all power of the enemy. And you can walk on snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. So back in verse 1, it says that Jesus chose to send out 72 other disciples. Think about that. He had his 12, which we weren't a part of. Then he goes, I'm going to send out 72 others, two by two. They went out as two. And we're part of beyond the 72. That Jesus is sending us out. I mean, we are great gatherers. We love to gather. We love to gather to eat, to play games, and all those things. But when God says go out, we're like, oh, I don't think so. I like my comfort, Lord. I don't want to go out. I like gathering together. But Jesus is sending them out two by two. So these other disciples, and then he gave them instructions. We won't go into the instructions because my instruction, what he'll give me today, is going to be different than your instructions when he sends you out. See, a lot of times we'll say, well, God, what's your instructions? I want to do what they're doing. Well, God didn't give you the instructions to bake cookies for the neighbor like he gave the instructions to bake cookies for the neighbor. See, we love following other people's instructions. Well, the Lord gave me instructions to write a book. I guess I better write a book. Nope, he didn't tell me to write a book, so I'm not writing a book. And so many times we want somebody else's instructions. So the thing about it, he say, I'm going to send you out. And so we're going to talk about going out. We're going to talk about walking in the authority that he's given us. And then he goes, as I send you out, not everyone's going to receive your message. How disheartening. Hey, I want to send you out! You know, just like the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, God goes, preach! Okay, how long? Until destruction of the country. Are they going to turn to you, God? Nope, but just keep preaching. See, sometimes God tells us to be obedient. He doesn't ask us to get the results. He asks us to go out. And then he goes, if they reject you, guess what? They're not rejecting you. So don't take it personally. If you give them a word or if you tell them about Jesus and they're like, wow, forget you. Nice turns. And they just turn their back. They're not rejecting you. They're not. You know who they're rejecting? They're rejecting the Father. They're rejecting Jesus. And so don't, I mean, I know it's hard not to take it personally. Hey, can I pray for you? No. Okay, well, have a nice day. Be blessed. Or he goes, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? No, get out of my car.
I don't want that. But they're not. So in verse 19, Jesus states this. He goes, verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 19. He goes, look, I have given you authority. You have authority. When you go out, when God tells you to go, you go with authority. And everything you face, you have authority over. And guess what? Satan's already under your feet. He's not higher than you. He's not equal to you as a believer. As a believer. If you're not a believer, then you're subjected to him. But as a believer, because I have the Holy Spirit living in me, and Christ already conquered him, he's already under my feet. He's under Jesus' authority. That's the reason why we go out in Jesus' name, not my name. You know, I don't want to be the son of Sceva's trying to cast out demons and get beat up by demons because they did it in their own name. We go out in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so that's what they're like, hey, even all these things were subject to you, even the demons. Because Jesus goes, well, that's not a big deal. The biggest deal is that people are coming to heaven. That's the greatest thing. That's the greatest thing. And so here he is. And then it continues in read it here. It goes, Matthew 10:1. It goes, Jesus called the 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits, to heal every kind of disease and illness. So when we pray for somebody who's sick, we should expect healing. That's what we should expect. Because he's given us authority. We don't need to give healing. We have the authority to walk in the power of Jesus. And the thing about it, this was before he was crucified, died, and rose again. He's given you authority. And then Luke 9:1-12, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all sick. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Authority. When you go out, you don't need my authority. You don't need the church authority. You don't need anybody's authority, because you already got the authority you need. You got the power of the Holy Spirit. And you got God's authority. Don't go where he doesn't tell you to go. A couple years ago, God disciplined me on that. I was trying to get into a to do something. And he goes, never invite yourself over where you're not wanted. Never go where you're not invited. See, if you're not invited, you're not welcome. And so the thing about it, when I'm not invited, I'm not going. Because God didn't invite me to go there. And so the thing about it is that I invited myself to people, to things, and to different places where I knew I wasn't invited. It didn't go well. Didn't go well at all. But once I step back, I have had people invite me over to pray for the sick, invite me over to pray over their property and things like that. It went a whole lot better than if I just stopped in and said, okay, here I am. No. When you're invited, you have authority. When you're sent out by God, you have authority. See, I'm here by God's authority, not by the church's authority. And that's the reason why I don't mind having a little rumble in the spiritual realm. Because I have the authority. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities and all those things. We're not supposed to back down and cry and crumble. Like, oh no, I'm getting it. Get up and kick him in the face. Step on the toes. Bump him in the nose. We're not supposed to lay around and cry like a baby. No, when we get attacked, Our job is not just supposed to take it. Our job is supposed to box. I mean, you don't get in a boxing ring to get beat up. I mean, if I was a boxer, I wouldn't want to get touched. I mean, there's a reason why the football player runs with the football away from people. He's smart. Get away from me. They're going to tackle me. But when you're in a fight, you keep fighting. You hit them. See where I'm at. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 goes, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given you all authority in heaven and on earth. He's given you all authority on heaven and heaven and on earth. He's given you authority. You don't have to ask for authority. You already have it. So when he goes, guess what? When a police officer shows up, what do they do? Show his badge, right? Hey, I'm officer such and such, right? And things like that. And so when he does that, he's saying, hey, I got authority. Guess what? You can show up and say, I am a child of God. I have the authority here. You be quiet. You get out of the room. Sickness go. Because guess what? As a child of God, I have the authority of Christ. I can walk in that authority. Once we grasp hold of when we pray, we're not just praying a law, we're praying with authority to the God of heaven and the earth who's given us authority to carry out the things he told us to do. And sometimes we don't need to pray, we just have to go and tell it to do. Say, hey, sickness, leave. I come in the authority of Jesus, sickness, you go. I got the authority. You know, and so when you walk in authority, and so I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am always with you. I'm with you always, even to the end. Guess what? You're not going alone. When you go, you're not going alone. When God tells you to go pray for that person, you're not going alone. The Holy Spirit's with you. The Holy Spirit that resides in you as a believer is going with you. And so we can say, you know, not my authority, but Christ's authority, I'm going. And so when the Holy Spirit prompts you, and guess what? You don't need to pray for things that you just say, hey, God told me this is going to happen, it's going to happen. And then Mark 16, 15, and 18. He told them, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These, okay, when you go and preach the word of God, this is what we should expect. Okay, when the kingdom of God is preached, not my kingdom, not the Assembly of God kingdom, not the church kingdom, but Jesus' kingdom, when it is preached, this is what we should be expecting. Miraculous signs accompany those who doubt. No, those who believe. If you believe, how many of you believe? I believe. As a believer, I should be expecting miraculous signs to accompany me. They should be with me. And they, that's you, you're part of they, will cast out demons in the name of Jesus. That's the only way they leave, is in the name of Jesus. And they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. I don't think that's just physical snakes. We're not snake handlers here. Pastor Frank and his church might be, but I'm not. You have to ask him if he is on the side.
He's just only pythons I handle.
Big guns. That, with that, I believe to spiritual snakes as well. That God will give you wisdom how to deal with people who are snakish.
You don't entertain. You know something out in Arizona? We don't entertain. We didn't entertain rattlers.
Oh, you're no fun.
Oh, I'm a lot of fun. Because if you entertain a rattler, you could get bitten. And if you would get bitten by a rattler, you could die. So you know something. So what they do, they go, you technically you weren't supposed to kill them in the city limits. Which is weird. Because if I any rattler I came across of in my area, my yard, we didn't come across any, but if I did, I'd have the shovel with me. Because you don't entertain snakes. You decapitate them. Rattlers, pythons. Because if you allow those things in, they're going to bite you. Snakes don't change. They don't change one bit. And so you know how they're able to deal with the snakes safely. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. And they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. They shall be recovered. Authority. Authority. Go in the authority God's given you. Because when you walk in the authority, we should have signs and wonders following us. Not just when we gather on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night, other times during the week. It's great to have that. But guess what? I want the authority when I go out on the corner and someone who's sick, I can pray for them. Or when I'm at Walmart and somebody's, God says, pray for that person. Okay. I remember praying for a young kid. His name was Genesis. It was so cool. I was like, wow, what a cool name. And a couple weeks ago when I prayed for the Muslim, I did it in the name of Jesus. And he was like, so what church do you pastor? I'm like, how do people know when I pray, I pastor a church? Because I pray with authority. You also minister as part of the body. And when we pray, we should know without a shadow of doubt, it doesn't matter who's around or whatever, that we have authority over whatever. Because guess what? As a believer, demons are subject to the name of Jesus. They're not subject to my name or my power. Satan's not subject to my name or my power. He's subject to the name of Jesus. And no matter what you're walking through, no matter what spiritual attack you're walking through, I'm telling you right now, you have authority over those things. And last thing, and then we'll take prayer requests and we'll go from there. Be careful what you say. Even, I know I've been harping this the last couple weeks. I've been harping it on my morning walks. We need to be very careful of how we pray and what we say over ourselves and how we say things. Because it's very important. Because when you say, I cannot do that, you're limiting God working in your life. Well, that's their job. Well, who says it's their job? Maybe God wants you to do it. Well, God told them to write the book. Well, maybe you're supposed to write it. Have you asked God? Well, I'm not good at that. Why not? Have you tried? Well, I tried once. I was not good at the piano. Well, it takes you more than once to be good at something. I mean, unless you're Gary, he's good at everything when he tries it the first time. But many times, most experts, to become an expert at something, minimum of 10,000 hours of practice. You want to be good at anything. That's the reason why those who have been doing something so long, they get paid so much better because they're good at it. Those who, and so I'm telling you right now, let's be careful how we, even jokingly, what we say to each other or even to ourselves. Well, I'm always going to be this way. Who says? Well, I guess it's the allergy season coming up. I guess I better get my allergy medicine. Who says you have to come in agreement with that? Why don't you just say, you know something, I might have allergies last year, but I'm not receiving them this year. Because I don't want to come into confession, or I don't want to speak death over my health. Well, you know, I guess, you know, I'm my wife got on my case the other day on this one. I'm going to be sore after my long 8-mile run. Who said? Oh, I don't want to confess I'm going to be sore after running 30 miles. The reality, I might be, now I might not be. I'll probably be tired, yeah, I mean, that's normal. But the thing about it, why do we have to confess something? And the thing about it, if you came to an agreement with something that was confessed over your life years ago, you can break that. You don't have to be like your grandpappy. I mean, if he's a godly man, I mean, that's a good thing. But a lot of times, you're going to grow up like your uncle, always in and out of jail. Why curse somebody like that? Break that off. Why? You're going to grow up to be like this. Nate, you can break that off. You're not what they have said who you were. All right. I think I'm done for tonight. I think we're good.